All right. Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Boundary IPL podcast. With me, Thomas, and with me, Nikhil and Thomas. Thomas, I almost became you for a minute. Identity theft.
We're each other. We're synonymous with this.
So yes, that is true. That is true. The order is not as significant. I think the first week of the IPL has been wrapped up. We would have wanted to get this up a little earlier, but we've had some issues. Logistical issues. But I think that happens. Week one's over, and I think it was a very, very exciting week. Before we kind of delve into the podcast, I think I just wanted to tell everyone to follow the Instagram page again. We have been getting some responses from our listeners, and we've been getting some DMs as well, and we would really like you guys to, you know, keep it coming. And I'm sure any of you guys watch Shark Tank, in Kevin O'Leary's voice, show us the love. And you know, really get in there, and Mr. Wonderful. Please follow Beyond the Boundary IPL, no spaces. If you guys are on Instagram, and if you're not on Instagram, please get off Facebook and come on Instagram, because no one's on Facebook. you can do that. And another announcement that I wanted to make is that we're going to have a team of the week that's coming soon. It should drop in another hour or so, based on the time of recording.
By the way, we're recording this 7:22 on the 17th of April, Saturday.
The Mumbai Sunrisers game won't be counted in the review that we do right now, obviously, because the game's not over and we can't travel through time. So, you know.
Yeah, we can't. We don't know what the outcome is.
Yeah.
We are not off the stage.
Yeah, exactly. So the Mumbai SRH game would be the first game that we would cover next week. But I think this is an accurate time to cover all you know, 8 games that have happened, because all 8 teams have played 2 games. So it's an even footing to see. We'll be having the team of the week coming soon. And just another parameter that I want to throw out there. Like last season, we had the team of the season. This time we're going to have team of the weeks for every week. And we'll kind of use that as a parameter to you know, determine who the team of the season would eventually be. I think that's all the boring stuff that I wanted to get out. But it's necessary, guys. You know? So, yeah.
Just one more thing.
Bolo.
Yeah, before we continue further into the breakdown, like, in the first week, like, we've been lucky the first week has been so symmetrical that all the 8 teams have played 2 games. From the next week onwards, it'll be a little tough to, like, give a little more to gauge, because I think few teams will have played 3, a couple of teams may have played 2, so like it will be a little uneven because of that. So we'll go according to a week by week thing accordingly.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it as even as possible, right? I think with double headers coming in, there is going to be some uneven.
Yeah, that makes it a bit tough, you know, especially tomorrow is a double header, so that will make it a little weird. So we'll try and keep that in mind. Don't worry, the quality of the product will still remain the same.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed. So we're going to start with our review, just to give you guys an idea of how we're going. So Thomas already has my opinions about the games that happened in Chennai, and I have Thomas's opinions about the game that happened in Mumbai. So he's going to take over and review all the games that happened at the Chepauk, and I'm going to take over the games that happened at the Wankhede. We may just, you know, drop a comment here or there about something that was astonishing, especially with Chennai, because a lot of the games are like batshit crazy. We're going to have some comments going here or there, but I guess we have an organized product so that we don't kind of exceed the time limit, because I feel like we've done that in the past. So yeah, Thomas, why don't you take it away with the games that happened in Chennai, starting with the season opener, which was Mumbai and RCB. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, the season opener, RCB versus Mumbai, one of the better season openers in recent memory, you know. Like, I mean, a lot of the season openers, they're normally dull affairs, you know. You basically know the winner in the first inning itself, more or less. But this one was, it went down to the wire, and that's all you could hope for, you know. And this trend has followed through all the 4 games which have taken place at Chennai so far, except for maybe the KKR Sunrisers game. potentially that was, you could say, maybe one-sided in terms of the score line, because I think that has, that's the only score line where a double-digit run win was recorded. Other than that, I don't think like you can make the case for anyone else to, I mean, the other games to win one-sided. So, yeah, anyways, so back to the season opener. I mean, RCB, they bowled brilliantly the first game. They stuck to their plans. I think in the first half, so there's been this general trend at the Chepauk wherein the ball just comes beautifully onto the bat the first 10 overs of each inning, and then just teams just collapse in the second half of each inning. So basically 1 to 10 perfect for batting. You get yourself stuck in and you stay till the end. You don't lose too many wickets then. 11 to 20, it's basically like Armageddon. Like basically everyone just loses their shit. And you have to keep in mind that these are all like all the four teams that have played in Chepauk so far. All of them have quite hefty batting lineups and all of them have managed to collapse. So you know, it's been a very like thrilling wicket fest at Chepauk for that reason. That has made games which are seemingly like, I mean, especially the last two games, like the Sunrisers lost to RCB as well as KKR lost to Mumbai, what were like strolls into like real unlikely wins for the teams who won. Yeah,
really absurd wins. My God.
Yeah. Go ahead. So, anyways, the first game, so we had the first surprise came in the team news wherein Harshal Patel got the team for RCB and Marco Jansen got into the team for Mumbai. So, like, there was a bit of intrigue when both of them were introduced into the team. And safe to say that both of them did their job pretty well, you know. So, like, I mean, my initial thoughts were like, I mean, so Jansen was, what he did in the last over is very underappreciated because, like, he had only like 7 to defend in the last over and he almost did it. Especially with the rampaging AB de Villiers at the crease till then. So he took it to the last ball and that is a great achievement, you know, especially for a young guy who's basically his first time out of South Africa. So I have to commend him on that. He's been unlucky to get dropped today instead of Milner, by the way. Mumbai won the toss. They're going to bat against Sunrisers. Live update. I mean, you can't fault us for that.
It won't exactly be live, Thomas, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. Then, like, Harshal, I think the biggest thing has to be Harshal Patel taking the first ever 5-wicket all against Mumbai. And, like, that is just a big talking point because, like, it's taken 197. No, how much? I don't know about the exact stat, but it's taken a long time. It's taken 14 seasons for anybody to take a 5-wicket haul on that. What are your thoughts on that, Nikhil?
Yeah, I think it is really absurd that, you know, it's taken this long from 2008 to 2021. But it's kind of funny that in one season it's happened twice now because Andre Russell did it as well.
Like London buses, dude. Once they come in bunches, you know, it's like that.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect saying to put there. But it is kind of freaky. And I think that has to do, I'm not taking any credit away from Harshal Patel, but I think I've had this discussion with Thomas as well that I'm not really sure how effective he'll be once you guys leave the Chepauk, right? Because he essentially bowls at 125 clicks and he kind of bowls a lot of cutters, which is a good skill to have. But at the Wankhede, if the pitch is the same one as the Rajasthan-Punjab game, but he'd probably, you know, go for 15-20. But yeah, why don't you continue on the Chepauk trail after this small bus stop to take over from your pun. But yeah.
Where we had we gave our thoughts on how lucky Harshal Patel was in getting his 5-wicket haul. I mean, other than that, that was like major talking points, and like we can talk about how Maxwell had a very encouraging first knock for RCB. Like he was mature, he scored 41 runs in his first stick, and I mean, it was like quite good. I mean, he builds on that in the second game. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like, I mean, yeah, I mean, okay, I just want you, if you want to cry, you can cry about it. Like, just
I'm not gonna cry about it, right? All I'm just gonna say is that I think what he said in the post-match conference was disrespectful, because he did say that the teams that I've been at before, they wanted me to come and hit from ball one. I don't think that's been true, because a lot of the games last season, we just had collapses where, you know, especially the KKR game where Maxwell had a good, what, I think it was 20, 25 odd balls, and it was at a run a ball. And he still managed to screw that up. And I think he needed, what, 6 runs of the last 3, and he managed to only hit the last ball for a 4. So it is about his intent, and I don't think he did that enough with Punjab. But I don't really care, because you know the 750s that he's hit in the IPL, he's hit 6 for us. So I'm still gonna keep the memories of the first stint that he had in the IPL with us. And yeah, I've decided to move on. Especially it's been summarized by the Punjab Twitter really well, because when RCB thanked them for Maxwell, we thanked them for Mandeep, KL, Gail, and Mayank Agarwal, which I feel like in the larger scheme of things, we got the better deal, and we continue to have the better deal as of right now. And even if there are some RCB fans out there listening and saying, oh, but the other reply that RCB did was savage, yeah, you can maybe say that our jersey looks a little bit like RCB, but like the Punjab Twitter said, hey man, you guys didn't invent colors. And for anyone who doesn't really understand what the jersey is, it's basically the 2014 jersey that the Kings XI Punjab had. They've just, that had silver linings, so they've kind of tried to go, it's like a metaphor that, you know, the last time we finished as runners up, and that's like a silver medal. So this time we're going gold because we want to win it. So that's the idea behind it. But yeah, you can go ahead. I've had my rant now, Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, this would have been particularly galling like after yesterday's as well. But we'll get on to that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't think there's much to say about the first game. Maybe we can talk about like AB's knock, but then whatever we say has already been said, you know. About
exactly.
I don't think there's anything new that we can just, well, like he just did his normal AB stuff.
Yeah, quintessential AB knock, basically. I think that's all I would like to say.
Yeah. No, just one more thing. Like, I mean, how do you like this RCB strategy of how they've lengthened, like seemingly lengthened the batting lineup with what they've done? So what they've done in the couple of games that they've had so far is they've put possibly an Indian batsman at number 3. It's been a rotating, whatever. I'm not getting that. It's been
policy, kind
revolving,
of. Revolving chair. Yeah.
Revolving chair. Yes. So whoever looks in good nick, they just throw him into the thing, and he has no pressure. So I think it's a decent strategy, but I want to know your thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, I think it is a really good strategy, and both of us spoke about this on the phone yesterday. I think it's a perfect strategy in a way, is because you're kind of putting the pressure on Maxwell and AB as potential finishers, because they kind of slot into the middle and the lower middle order, especially AB because he comes in at 5 now, with Maxwell coming at 4. And I think given the conditions in the future and you know, based on the match situation, there could be games where AB comes in ahead of Maxwell. So you're kind of putting the experienced people in the hot seat, and you're giving a youngster the license to just explode. So sure, with Shahbaz Ahmed and Rajat Patidar, it hasn't come off yet with both of them particularly.
I mean, you could say it half worked with Khalil. I mean, with Shahbaz.
With Shahbaz, but
then
yeah. I mean, you know, what I'm really looking for with that number 3 role is something like a 20 plus kind of innings of 10 balls, right? I get 14 of 10 is decent, but I like the idea because if anyone comes and scores at a strike rate of above 110, 115, that kind of gives Kohli the license to settle down, which is I think is so key for a player like him. I get that every year is not 2016. He can't come out and hit it from ball one like he did that year. He needs to settle down. He showed us that in the India series. So having Devdutt Padikkal and you know whoever plays at number three in the future, it could be just a revolving chair. So yeah, I think it's a decent strategy. And then you know, having your finishers who haven't really finished yet, and I think finished per se depending on their role, like someone like a Dan Christian or a Washington Sundar. I think Kyle Jameson, they did pitch in. But I think AB and Maxi have done the job for you in two games. So yeah, it's looking pretty solid, and you guys have a good 7-8 bowling options in most games, which I am very envious of, considering Punjab going with 5 every game. Kind of like India. It's funny how the tables have turned, right? Like the Indian captain has 8 bowling options. And a team that has two Australian fast bowlers, when you look at all Australian teams, even in the Big Bash, they typically have at least 6 options. So it's kind of funny. But I really like this policy, to be honest. I think you could reap some benefits off this, especially it's kind of similar to Sunil Narayan opening.
Go ahead. Only thing, he comes in a position lower, possibly in this case.
Honestly, I think if Kohli and DDP, you know, bat through the power play, I don't think the Shahbaz Ahmed or Rajat Patidar kind of player would come.
It's needed.
Right? I think it's only if you lose a wicket early. They just let another guy come and, you know what, license to do whatever you want to, and then let's take it from there. But yeah, it's
exactly.
Interesting.
And one more thing is, like, AB is pretty old now, right? I mean, especially while chasing it helped, because like after keeping for 20 overs, he will be a little tired, you know? So it gives them a little more extra rest time. It may not be the case, but I'm just saying, it gives them a little more time to like relax his muscles and, you know, like coming in at number 5.
Yeah,
you can
100%.
Like a finisher.
Now that you mentioned that, I mean, I know I'm going off syllabus, as most people would say. I think that's probably the reason why Dhoni's coming at 6. Because he's, you know, turned 40 now, and everyone's been ranting saying, turn Dhoni at 4. But he's turned 40 now, and if he has to keep for, you know, and both games he's bowled first. So if he's kept for 20 overs, he probably doesn't want to come in early. He wants to give the hands and the glutes and the legs and the back some rest, because I've kept for like a couple overs once with a leather ball spinners, and when you squat for 2 overs, those legs are just dead, man. I was 17 at the time, so I can't imagine what it's like for a 41-year-old. It makes sense. I think that's a very interesting strategy, but I think we should move on to the
move on.
So
the next game was match number 3 chronologically, but this is the second game at Chepauk.
Yep.
And this was like Sunrisers versus KKR. And I mean, I didn't see the whole game. I think you saw the entire game, and you were very baffled by Sunrisers.
I was annoyed. I was so angry.
I think you should take the lead in this. I think you'll be able to encapsulate it much better than me, especially in the second inning part of it, what Sunrisers did. So
I'll tell you what, okay? So I was watching the second innings, and it was just, oh God. So I think first thing I have to start with that, this was one of the points that it's a positive point, okay, before getting into the second innings. I think KKR was listening to our podcast, because, you know, George, who was a KKR fan, came on and he was so insistent on Rahul Tripathi opening. And I'm like, you know what? No. Go with Nitish Rana and Shubman Gill. And they've done that, and it's worked successfully for them so far. Nitish Rana is the highest run scorer of the league as we speak. It could change if someone like a Warner or whoever does a century. No, but I'm just saying by the end of the day, end of this game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Cool. I think we should have this episode up by the end of the day. So, it was that was a massive, massive positive for us. And I think the SRH bowlers did a tremendous job. Okay, I have to say that, especially in the death overs. And, you know, they were restricted to like a meager total. But the biggest point that pissed me off, and this is where my rant is just going to explode, is the fact that you did not even need, I think it was under 12 runs and over in terms of the run rate. And you had Manish Pandey batting, all right? So this is one thing that everyone needs to understand about teams in general. So typically in your top six, every team at a minimum has two players that can play the role of an anchor. So as an anchor, it means that they can stick around. Maybe are not the most explosive players in the world, but there are explosive batsmen that can bat around them. And that kind of gives you the freedom that there's one guy who can rotate the strike and there's the other guy who can hit the boundary. And even if that guy doesn't hit the boundary, the scoreboard still ticks, right? So when you're going at a run rate, a required run rate of about 12 runs and over, you cannot have Vijay Shankar and Manish Pandey bat together because you're basically having two anchors batting together when you need a boundary.
And you clog up the flow, right?
You clog up the flow, eat up balls. And it's just, it's so annoying because, you know, both of us have Sunrisers finishing really high on the table because we have really high hopes from them. And maybe they could win this game, but then that kind of puts our Mumbai theory into question as well. But that's a catch-22 for another week. what really annoyed me is that Abdul Samad, who's such a phenomenal talent, right? Like, he's a six-hitting machine of sorts.
Yeah.
And he could develop into something really special. And he comes on the first ball and hits a six when the game's at like this precarious situation where it's really difficult to win. When Vijay Shankar's come, eaten up all the balls and you have lost the game effectively. Same thing with Manish Pandey, okay? And on CricBuzz, they brought up this stat that Manish Pandey over the last 3 years has scored over 30, about 15 times, and SRH have lost 13 of those games. So
that's a very worrying stat.
Every time he bats above 30 balls and scores at around 100, 120, they lose the game. And it's very worrying, right? So I feel like both of us have this in common, especially for this game. They need Williamson back. I know that they're talking about his injury, but on this pitch, especially Chepauk, now barring, he's not playing this game. So the next two games, they really need Williamson to come back in. Because I don't see them winning too many without a collapse, unless Warner, you know, bats through the 20 overs. What were your thoughts on this game before we move on to the next game, which was, I think, KKR MI, right? Yeah. Which was a similar game. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, similar game. I think you have to give a bit of credit to KKR. I mean that.
I'm very hesitant to do that.
Yeah, I mean that credit quickly vanishes with the next game. But with the way they batted, so maybe that game was a real anomaly. Within a total of 366 runs were scored in that entire game. So 188 for KKR, 178 for Sunrisers. So that game has been the weird anomaly in the Chepauk conundrum, let me call it like that, whatever. So they did well, they maximized that. Nitish Rana has gotten to terms with this pitch. He seems like the only guy who's like,
across the eight teams. No, I would see Maxwell, but I think Nitish Rana, because he's the highest run scorer overall when there are four teams that have been playing at Bankhede. Game after game.
Exactly.
Right? So Nitish Rana, I feel, has mastered it to another level. And due credit to him, man. Like, he's done a really good job. Go ahead.
Nitish Rana has done, pretty well. So we have to give him that credit at least. And even Tripathi, his innings was quite crucial. But they sort of melted in the back five. I mean, they had a Dinesh Karthik little cameo which he did, you know, in the end to like thank for the way they I mean, they finished with 188 in the end. So they were in trouble. They were on course to finish below 180 with the way that back five overs went for them. So that you have to give them that credit. They bowled decently enough or just well enough to like win the game. So that is one thing. I mean, other than that, anything, I mean, Rashid Khan was just like his usual self.
I think people like Rashid and AB, just how consistent they are, right? Like, we don't have to bring it up every game. Man. It's just... Rashid Khan arrived and he did what he does.
Yes.
That's about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we're done with this game now. Now we just go on to two bonkers, the last two games.
Basically, I would say the next game was the same thing, just replace the teams. In a certain sense, you know, because it's exactly what happened. Like your the next two games, I meant, not the KKR one. The one that they won. The one that they lost was two similar results, copy pasted, with different teams. That's what happened.
Copying. So basically, they just copied each other.
Plagiarism. Like we need to get
plagiarism.
Them. Yeah. So yeah, go for
sword.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's safe to like just club both the games together because like,
yeah, let's do that. I think we'd be able to compare exactly what happened because both of them were such shockers that if it happens for the third time, it's not a shock anymore. And I've got my eyes on you, Mumbai versus SRH.
Anyway, so both them were match number 5 and 6 respectively. So match number 5 was KKR versus Mumbai, match number 6 was SRH versus RCB. Mumbai, they didn't look like themselves in the batting. So we maintain this Word doc. I mean, this is Google Docs document wherein we just write our thoughts about each game so it makes it easier for us to break down when we're doing this part for you guys.
Yeah.
So, what I do is, after each inning, I give my thoughts. So, what I said was, Mumbai don't look themselves with the bat. That's what I meant. Little did I know that they would just pull off this that result that they did against KKR. But, which you could say owed more to KKR choking, but you have to give Mumbai the credit for keeping the belief that at least that is also one thing. But, what I noticed was that Mumbai batting innings, which was so, like, sluggish, except for Surya Kumar Yadav, he seemed to come to terms with the pitch. Other than that, everyone just struggled. It wasn't the Mumbai innings, and it just didn't seem like it. We didn't feel that verb, you know, when you see Mumbai batting, and like all the power hitters, and again they somehow contrived to concede another 5 wicket all to Russell, who just bowled 2 overs. So, but I don't know whether to give Russell credit because I think 4 of those wickets were just wickets of tailenders, and he was sufficiently fresh enough to bowl in those 2 overs. So, do you give credit for the 5 wicket haul, or do you just?
I would because see, honestly, even I know Harshal Patel bowled 4, but you saw him do something similar in the last over as well, and not every bowler has been able to do it. So you need a specific skill set to get it right at Chepauk. You know, Bravo did well for so many years together, and then his. I won't say exactly compatriot, but yeah, his Caribbean teammate did it once again. So you had 2 5-wicket hauls against Mumbai. And I think, just taking on from what Thomas said, he writes it after every innings, and I write it at the end of the game because I like to see, you know, because a 150 score from a Mumbai perspective could mean that it's a stupidly bad score, right? But from a Chepauk perspective, after that game, we kind of figured out that that's enough. So, if I'm just going to read out verbatim what, Thomas and me said as our first thoughts. So, Thomas said, MI didn't look themselves. And since I wrote it after the game, I'm like, MI are warming up. Not looking themselves is all BS. So, that's just... Where both of us stood, right, with that, because the last 6 overs is just madness at the Chepauk. 10 overs is beautiful. 4 overs is if you're in there, it's all right. You can rotate strike and you can hit the odd bad ball for a 4. But after that, if you're a Abdul Samad, Jason Holder, Krunal Pandya kind of batsman, you will not sustain. If you're the kind of batsman who just comes in and tries to hit from ball one, you will not sustain. You kind of need to... I would say there are only four or five batsmen in the league that can sustain and play that kind of an innings. And Kane Williamson is one of them, which is why I really wanted him in. I'm sorry for mixing games, but that was my major thought. And I felt like Rana did a great job with that. Sky did a brilliant job with that. But you can talk us through the explosion the implosion, I would say, not even an explosion that happened in the middle.
Yeah,
and then we can compare it to the second implosion.
Yeah. No, so there is just this very apparent fact, like this, like you said, it was just a plagiarism of each other, both the games. So yeah. In the first game, you had Rohit to stay till the 14th over, I think. He hit like 40 odd and he lost the wicket in the first innings, I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then, somehow Mumbai after that, they just scratched around and they got 150. Okay, which seemed under par at the time, like at least at the halfway mark.
100%,
but then, And then the second innings started. Okay, yeah. And they just got up to this excellent start, you know? Like, we thought, okay, both of us thought, okay, easy win.
Must admit, I didn't see the last four overs. I was watching a movie because I was like, this game's done. last 10 overs, actually.
Exactly.
Once Rana and Gill got up to the start, I'm like, they're done. They're home. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And then I think what triggered the collapse has to be the way Rana lost the wicket. So despite all the credit he's gotten, like he did very well to like get used to the pitch. But then the way he got out to Rahul, so what, there was one thing. So despite the way KKR were cruising, they were losing the intermittent wickets and they were losing them all to Rahul Chahar. So Rahul Chahar at that point had 3 wickets. And he was bowling quite, he was their most, Mumbai's most dangerous bowler at that point. So what Rana did, like he just charged Rahul Chahar and he lost his wicket as a result of that. And he was on 57 at that point. So the expectation was on him to kick on after that. And then after that, we just saw, it was just like horrific batting, you know, like lack of game management. I don't know what to put it, you know. They needed 30 of the last 30 balls and managed to screw it up.
Yep,
and
exactly.
And Bolt, Bhutta and Krunal bowled some great overs, but the way Russell was batting was just so ugly. And Owen Morgan, he should cop a lot of the blame. He is the captain for a reason. He should have calmed everyone down.
And you know what really confused me as well? Shakib plays in conditions that are really similar to Chennai. And even exactly. he really did, like I get it that
he lost his head.
Yeah, Owen Morgan doesn't play at these kind of wickets, right? Like there's probably just one ground in England that spins as much, and even that one doesn't. So the thing is, I felt like Shakib didn't do a good job. Russell's become such a bad batsman, at least so far. And I feel like, you know, the way...
He was ugly also.
Yeah. Like a combination of Russell's... I think when Russell got out. So I would say Bumrah and Krunal's over. Sure, Rahul Chahar, you know, kept putting pressure and taking wickets. But that over from Krunal and Bumrah is very similar to the Shahbaz impact that you guys had in the subsequent game. Which is why I felt like both results were so similar. Because... both teams could have kind of just cruised their way to victory, but it didn't happen, which was just so fascinating to see. Why don't you close it out with the last over comparison for both the games?
So I would I'll just talk about the second game and how it was similar to the first one. I think we just covered the first game, so the second game also same thing happened in the first innings. Kohli stayed till the end. I mean, he had a good start. I think round about the same time as Rohit, he lost his wicket as well, and he didn't take it all that well. I was just, I don't want to.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, I don't want to go into it further. It will just trigger like this entire talking point, which it shouldn't be the case, but sometimes people want to talk about it, so let them talk about it. Anyways, yeah, so it triggered like this thing. But one, the difference was Maxwell stayed till the last ball and he got RCB to a par score. Okay, I wouldn't say it was like an over par score, but par score would be a more appropriate way of going for it. And even Sunrisers, exactly. The only thing, they just lost the wicket of Saha to some very good tight bowling from Siraj. And okay, Manish Pandey and Warner, they went off the exact same start as what Gill and Rana did. But then Jameson, who at that point hadn't bowled the best, he had conceded 26 runs in his two overs. He bowled a little bit of a short delivery and he bowled it around the wicket to Warner, so which cramped Warner and he lost his wicket as a result. And I think both of us saw this. Warner kept on saying to whoever came in and in the dugout as well, he said one word, partnerships. So just go on that.
Oh man, yeah. So the thing is, when Warner got out, he told Manish Pandey that he wants everyone to, you know, just build partnerships because the wicket was getting a little sticky. And the rest of the team just decided to avoid that message altogether, including his batting partner. Because the moment Warner got out, Manish Pandey just went for another shot, which made no sense. And this comes back to the point that we made, right? Every time Manish Pandey gets set in, SRH seemed to lose, which is just astounding. And it's kind of depressing in a way for them as well, right? Because they paid such big money for him. And I think Manish Pandey's had a really bad week in my head, because I think both the games he didn't do as much as he could have with the bat. You know, sure, he, in terms of his average and the runs he scored this season, he's done significantly okay in both games, but he's not won his team the game at the end of the day. And he's been recently dropped from the BCCI central contract list as well, along with Kedar Jadhav. So Sunrisers Hyderabad, with their Indian middle order batsmen, they haven't had a really good week. Let's just end it at that. And I think you have credit where it needs to be given. Shahbaz Ahmed balled excellent. I think it was the 17th over, right, Thomas?
Yeah, 17th over.
Pretty exceptional. You know, like, and he even considered going back to Shahbaz for the 19th, but you went with Siraj, and even though Siraj, you know, this was the argument that I had with you about Siraj, is that the first two overs he was excellent, right? I think he conceded one run or two runs, and then at the end of the day he gave 27, if I wasn't wrong. So he gave close
25,
right? So he gave 23 runs in two overs. One was right after the power play and one was towards the end.
Power play, to be fair, got 15 runs. I mean, he gave away only 8 runs in his last over. So,
I'm just saying that if you take the average of the two overs, it was pretty okay. So, yeah, I just think it's about utilizing the bowler for his strength. So, maybe bowl him out completely, because which is why I feel like you should get someone like a Kane Richardson in the future. Oh, and Daniel Sands is fit as well now. I just read an update a couple hours back, so he's out of quarantine. RCB is looking pretty solid, and you have pieces that are coming together, right? So Kane Richardson could play in the Wankhede. You have Harshal Patel coming in good form. Maxwell's doing a stellar job so far. Kohli has starts. AB's had that one innings. So you guys seem to be coming together as a unit. Even Tall Guy is just doing a pretty decent job, right?
He's given glimpses of his talent.
Yeah, he's given cameo with the bat as well so far. And so it's
crucial one.
Pretty exciting for RCB. But I think we've taken a lot of time for Chepauk. I was expecting it to be a little shorter. So I'm going to run through the Wankhede games pretty quickly, because I feel like I think that there are just two games that were really fascinating. The CSK-BC one, I'm just gonna run through it really quickly, because it was a one-dimensional game of sorts. You know, CSK did get to a really competitive total. So they just to refresh everyone's memory, they got to 188 of 7 with, you know, Raina, you know, rolling back the vintage days. And Sam Curran rolling back from 3 weeks back. And just really...
And even Ali as well. Moeen Ali rolling back.
Oh, yeah. Moeen Ali was pretty... I think I wanted to like appreciate Moeen Ali together during the Punjab game because that would hurt more. But it's okay. So I'm just looking at this objectively. So yeah, I think Sam Curran, Moeen Ali and Raina really starred for them with the bat. But they kind of... So I still have this opinion and I want you to tell me if you back me up on this. I get it that this happened, yesterday's game happened so far, right? But I feel like the CSK bowling lineup is too one-dimensional. Deepak Chahar had an amazing game and I'm saying this without keeping the Punjab game in mind. Even if you keep it in mind, I feel like Shardul Thakur, Deepak Chahar, Dwayne Bravo, Sam Curran. So if you think about it, they're all the same height. They all kind of ball the same speeds with, I would say, Bravo bowling a lot slower. No one can, you know, ball that tearaway pace. So I feel like as the tournament progresses, especially if they want to make leeway into the playoffs, the playoff games are in Ahmedabad. And if you ball 135 on Ahmedabad without being super intelligent, you will be taken to the cleaners. I just wanted your opinion on that. And I want to appreciate KL Rahul. Not KL Rahul. I just said that because of our team of the week conundrum. But Shikhar Dhawan and Prithvi Shaw's opening innings, they did a tremendous job. And you know, Shikhar Dhawan top scored for them as well at 85. It was a walk in the park for Delhi because they won with 8 balls to spare, which was the basic recap of the game. But before we get into the CSK bowling, I think there were some standout performances. I think Chris Wokes and Avesh Khan, even going into the second Delhi game, both of them have been exceptional. Rabada did come back and Nokia has tested negative now, but it's kind of given them bench strength because you don't know whether to drop Wokes or not. Maybe now the next game they drop Tom Curran, play the same balance, play three fast bowling options with Wokes playing that all-rounder role along with Stoinis. So you don't even need a Hetmyer because Rahane can play that stability role. And Lalit Yadav has done a decent job. At least he showed some glimpses with the bat so far. You have to get into Pant, right? Because even recently, he didn't ball all four overs of Ashwin, even though he was at a pretty decent economy. And this is something me and Thomas have discussed. I think this has been the line of the tournament so far in terms of, like, you are definitely not from last year. I think so far, it's been Rishabh Pant saying, we're very happy to play in Wankhede because it's a better track than Delhi. And I just felt that was so hilarious because Rishabh Pant's going to be a part of the future of Delhi. And if you want to be probably the vice captain next year and be one of the top retentions, you don't say that about your home ground, right? So I felt that was quite an absurd thing to say, but it was pretty hilarious. And I get that he probably had nerves.
Funny.
Playing against his first IPL game and he did get the better of his, idol in Dhoni. We already spoke about Raina, we spoke about Shaw. I think one thing that I wanted to touch upon is that, okay, me as a Punjab fan, forget it, but in terms of, just our coverage, we got a lot of flack for putting CSK, 7th and 8th in our predicted tables. But I feel like the first game kind of encapsulated why we did that. I get that they came back well, okay, but they still have some pieces missing. And it's really apparent if you see any of the experts. Dhoni could still prove us wrong. But I feel like because of what happened in the first game, a lot of the flack we were getting was unnecessary. But sure, it was balanced out in the later game. But yeah, Thomas, what is your take on the point that I made about their bowling being kind of one-dimensional?
You made a perfectly valid point. Like, I mean, I don't think there's anything more I have to add to it. I think Ngidi has the potential to be that X factor only for the sole reason that he's quicker than all the bowlers which they have at their disposal.
Yep,
so,
exactly.
That extra yard of pace that makes a difference. No matter what people say that it's easy hittable, but still that yard of pace just, it, because it just zooms past the bat much quicker than the batsman has time to think. That is, like, it's a very layman way of thinking of it, but it makes sense.
Yeah, so especially sense if you're playing teams that have a couple domestic players playing, right? So, for example, if you have a, let me just throw a name in there, right? You have someone like a Riyan Parag.
A Virat Singh,
who's batting today, right? If you have an Andrik Nokia running up at 152 kilometers per hour, it'll get anyone afraid. Forget a Virat Singh or a Riyan Parag, right? Even someone like a Joss Butler or a Virat Kohli will take notice and be a little more careful. So I feel like that they don't have that. Maybe Jason Behrendorff and Lungi and Ngidi can bring that aspect to them, but can they fit both of them in given the balance that they're playing right now? It's a little confusing, and it's, I don't know, maybe the tactics can come in question, but I think in the same breath, I'll just cover the game that...
Like, one thing we can do is, you can contrast the way Delhi have made the transformation from last season to this season and how Chennai have made the transformation in terms of their bowling. I'm not going to talk about the batting. So what Delhi, they've come into this varied bowling attack wherein they have the Nurdler in Chris Wokes, who will get the swing early on and get those early wickets. And they have the option of going for that. You know, Delhi are in this envious position because they have such great domestic batsmen that they can go for three foreign pacers. Which is, I mean, it's I wouldn't say it's rare, but it's still...
And this is without Shreyas.
Uncommon. Exactly. Yeah. So, it's what insane. They've done very well... Yeah, so they have that liberty to go in, all in for their bowling attack. So at least for their pace bowling attack. I wasn't saying it's a spinning thing. But their bowling attack is very multi-dimensional in a way. And Avesh Khan been a real revelation across both the games as well, you know. The way that action of his very straight arm and the way he's gotten about his wickets, very good. Like he's bowling consistently in that hard length and he's exploiting that well. So I would like to give a shout out to him. And the thing with Chennai is, yesterday they did very well, but that they had a bit of help from the Punjab batsmen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the Wankhede pitch was that bad across the last two games. That's my opinion. Once we come to that, I think I'll encapsulate it a little more.
I think we have another game to analyze, which talks about the Wankhede pitch being great, right? So this for me was also one of the games of the season. I probably produced one of the, I won't say controversial moments because we have, you know, foregone that and it's fine, but so it's the Punjab Kings versus the Rajasthan Royals, right? So, a really, really crazy game. Punjab scored 221 in the first innings and Rajasthan scored 217. You know, so what happened in between is what was the astonishing part, right? So, Punjab started extremely well. You know, so Gale pitched in with a quick fire 40. You had KL Rahul scoring 91 not out. Huda also doing a tremendous job. I think he surprised everyone by walking in at number 4 ahead of Nicholas Puran, who hasn't, you know, really moved on, got to move on this tournament so far. Yeah, he has two ducks continuously, but Huda did an amazing job. And you know, they got the 221 mark. I think we have to talk about Chetan Sakaria, who probably has one of the most I don't even know what to say. It's a tragic story, right? The kind of last 2 months he's had. And I think he, more than anyone, deserves the fame and the financial security that's coming his way, because there's so many marginalized families like this in India. And we don't know exactly what you know, pushed his brother to suicide. But it's just really sad if it was... if it had something to do with the financial state that the family was in, because just a couple weeks after that horrific incident happened, you know, his life probably changed forever after the auction. So yeah, I think, but still, you know, he had such a positive attitude on the field, you could see him smiling, you know, executing his plans to perfection, I would say, because, you know, he finished with a 3-wicket haul and conceded only 30-odd runs. With and he took a stunning catch, right? The Pooran catch was amazing. Yeah. So he's looking like the real deal so far. And he did a really good job. Honestly, if you think about it, the game got interesting because of Chetan Sakaria. Because if he would have conceded more than 5 in that last over, the total would have probably been in the ballpark of 230, which would have been a lot more difficult to chase, right? So the last over wouldn't need 13 or 14 odd runs to chase in the last one. It would have been close to 20-25. So I feel like Chetan Sakaria kind of made things interesting in that sense. And yeah, that was it was a tremendous game, and I think I have to leave best for the last was Sanju Samson's innings. I don't think I've ever seen him bat this well. If there was a game that, you know, where he would debut as a batsman and a captain, sorry, my bad. But his first game as a captain, he was just tremendous. He was seeing the ball like a football probably, and just getting everything in the middle of the bat, barring that last shot that went into I think it was Deepak Hooda who took the catch at the boundary. It was a pretty phenomenal innings. And in the same breath, because we're talking about Sanju Samson's dismissal, there are two things that I want to cover in this last over. One has to be Ashdeep Singh's bowling, because it seems like he's picked up where he left off last season. He's just doing such a tremendous job in the depth and you know, keeping things down even in the power play. I think so far Shami and Ashdeep have been the best bowlers for Punjab, which is kind of ironic because we never persist with the same players typically, and the one time we've done that, we're reaping the reward so far. And the second thing has to be that Sanju Samson denying the run. Now for me, and I know this for you as well, I think it was the right call. Okay, sure, Morris, you know, won the game against Delhi Capitals by hitting 4 sixes. But he wasn't hitting the ball well that game, right? It was pretty substandard batting from him because he didn't even get enough time to get in. Now to read the stats to you, you know, Chris Morris scored 2 of 4, and in those 4 balls, he didn't look like he could get the ball to the boundary. So, in my opinion, I would still back Sanju Samson given the facts that we've seen now post the Delhi games. I would still back Sanju Samson to hit a 6 of the last ball. Then hit Chris Morris from that day. I wouldn't back him at all. What was your take on that? And maybe a few words on Ashdeep as well. And if any other points that you want to make.
Yeah, so like the one thing, both the left-arm spacers on both teams, so Sakaria and Ashdeep Singh, were very crucial for how they set the narrative of how the game went. Like, without them, like, so everyone will focus on Rahul's 91 and Samson's 119, and deservedly so. But yeah, both of them went at, like, at economy rates less than 9 and over in a game which saw a total run rate of over 11 and over. So, that is outstanding. So, they bowled at least two runs better than the entire game went. So it's a very rough way of putting it, but think of it that way. And both of them took, Ashdeep, I think he took 2 wickets or 3 wickets? 2.
He took 3. 3. The third one was the Samson wicket. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Both of them took 3 wickets.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, both of them impressive. I mean, Sakaria in his first game, I'm very impressed with Ashdeep continuing on, you know, showing a lot of heart, you know, especially taking the last over with the Samson, who just like, everyone thought that Samson would take Rajasthan home. Like, there was a reasonable. Yeah. Then what he did in the last over, extra special. The Samson runner, even I tend to agree with you. You tend to go with the guy who is able to do it well. So now, just to deviate a little bit, so a similar moment happened very in the KK in the RCB RCB Sunrisers game, in which Maxwell also turned down a single in the last over.
He did,
and somewhat the execution was much better, wherein he was able to add 7 crucial runs after denying that run. So like in that sense as well, so you tend to go with the guy who's able to like see the ball properly and who's in form. And as we said that like Morris, he didn't look likely to hit that post. So, but one thing I would like to add as the devil's advocate is he could have just as easily edged them four and they could have easily won. So,
yeah, a lot but of these now that this
moment, you know,
to question that rationale, because I saw a lot of people say that, including like a couple experts saying that, you know, you could have edged it. To put things in perspective, Arshdeep bowled close to five slower balls. And the last ball was at 119, 118 kilometers per hour. So when you edge that kind of a ball, and KL Rahul had, I'd put a 7-2 feel. So for those of you who get cricket, you need to understand that. Yeah, exactly. It's an offside dominant field. And he did have a player at third man, a lot finer for that edge. So I feel like the pace that Arshdeep balls getting that edge is very unlikely, and especially getting it at that pace to run to the boundary. And B, even if he did get it, I mean, yeah, this is all circumstantial stuff. Maybe even Samson, if you know, he saw the ball and he saw that there's not enough pace on it, he maybe could have gone for the four, right? Especially if it was on the offside, he was picking the gaps really well. But yeah, that's all in retrospect. Because of that one game, I feel like the IPL is a lot more interesting, because if Punjab were 2-0 down with Sunrisers, we would be a little, okay, this can go anywhere. But because Rajasthan eventually won the game against Delhi, and hopefully Sunrisers can pull something off today. And I'm just saying this so that the IPL stays interesting and we have at least one team, all teams at 2 points. It was a very interesting game. And I think it was one thing I have to talk about was it was a forgettable game for both the Australian Pacers, right? We have kind of appreciated Jai Richardson for what he's done at the Big Bash and for Australia. He debuted back in 2017 for Australia as a 19-year-old, because he's 24 now. And, you know, the injuries and all of that stuff, he's come back so well. And he did have like that slower ball to Jos Buttler was something to remember, and especially to have that as your first IPL wicket, pretty special. But he went for 55 and Riley Matthews went for 49. So they almost lost the game for Punjab, and Punjab didn't bat well, right? But both the bowlers looked much better, especially Riley Meredith, because he mixed it up, balled those bouncers to Suresh Raina, and I'm gonna get into detail with that later. So it was a good learning curve for those two Aussie boys. Now I will get to the next game, which was the Rajasthan Deccan Chargers. Deccan Chargers because I read DC on our
document. Delhi Capital.
What a good throwback to Deccan Chargers. But yeah, Delhi Capitals. We already kind of spoke about this game, right? Like, I think the main aspect of this game that changed was the Morris innings, but I know that I'm starting bang in the middle. I have to talk about David Miller. It was he rolled back the clock, right? Like it was vintage David Miller, like Thomas was mentioned in the document. Like a really, really solid innings, and he's coming off some decent form against Pakistan as well in the series that is still going on, if I'm not wrong.
It got over yesterday,
and Babar Azam dethroned Virat Kohli. Good for him.
Very good. Yada yada.
Sorry, Shahid Afridi. The IPL is more important if you're listening. It was. He's coming off some really good form, and I think one thing that you've mentioned on this document as well. Excellent bowling performance, right, from Rajasthan, especially in the first innings. I think overall it was really good bowling from both sides. If you think about it, there were two specific bowlers who have been kind of bought in for specific roles that messed up for both sides. You had Tom Curran messing up for Delhi Capitals, and you had Chris Morris messing up with the ball for Rajasthan, right, because he didn't do a really good job, especially based on the kind of money he's been given. And part of the reason why they even got to you know, that par score, which was, let me read it out to you guys. It was a 147. Was because Morris wasn't as effective, because Unadkat, Sakaria did that job, right? But you didn't see Morris pulling it off. I think even Mustafa Zur wasn't as bad. He did a pretty decent job. So you had Rishabh Pant starring with the bat and playing a really, I would say, left field innings compared to what he typically does. He actually played a lot like Rahane. If you think about it, it was like Rahane and him did like swap their souls, like that movie Freaky Friday. it was something like that. And Pant did a really good job, right? Like he played a captain's knock of sorts. You know, getting to that 50 in the first innings, which was the difference, could have been the difference in the end, but it was the reason the game was close, right? Because let me read out the rest of the scoreline. It was Prithvi Shaw 2, Shikhar Dhawan 9, Rahane 8, Marcus Stoinis 0, Lalit Yadav 20, Tom Curran 21, Chris Wilkes 15, Kagiso Rawada 9, and Ravichandran Ashwin 7. So it was that 50 that took them to the par score of 147, or what proved to be just under par. And if you look at it, Chris Morris went for an economy of 9 when the batsmen went were falling down like telephone numbers. It was a pretty I think special innings from Pant in that sense, to you know put some context to the game and kind of make it a contest. But then David Miller, you know, playing that quintessential David Miller innings, 62 of 43, hitting 2 sixes on a pitch that was like, which is for me has been the word of the week, which I did not know existed when it comes to pitches. They call pitches tacky now, as if it's some kind of a class, right? So these tacky wickets, you know, Miller playing a really key innings of 62 of 43. And then Morris scoring at a strike rate of 200, which kind of brought up the debate, right? We brought up the debate of maybe give Morris the should have given Morris that last ball against Punjab, but we're moved past that now. And what I really wanted to say is I loved Morris's press conference, right? He said there are some players that are bought to bat, and there are some players that are bought to slog.
Some are bought to slog.
And that's why I play golf. I was just like, that's genius, man. That's a special press conference. It's very... You hear a lot of NBA players talk like this in press conferences. You don't really see Indian players do that. And just to confirm that this is exactly what he said, I actually went and watched the press conference. And it was really cool, you know, really good innings from him. And I think Tom Curran had some abysmal bowling. You know, 3.4 overs, he went for an economy of 9.54, conceding 35. And I feel like that has been curtains for his tournament, considering both Rabada and Nokia are back. And if you want to change the balance of the side, get a Steve Smith in, get a Hetmyer in, you would see maybe someone like a Wokes or Nokia going out. So I don't see Tom Curran playing another game this season unless there's been an injury, which is kind of sad.
You know, interestingly enough,
yeah,
like just this weird thought. Okay, so Tom Curran, his previous franchise was Rajasthan, and Chris Morris was DC or whatever, Delhi Daredevils.
It
so,
was
interestingly enough in the. No. I'm saying before. So like, okay, their swap position, they would have been perfect. So in the first innings, if you had noticed, Rajasthan, they were bowling a lot more of the slower deliveries, which Tom Curran was doing in the last over against Morris. And
exactly.
Most likely, he would have thrived in that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Delhi in the second innings, I don't know what, was it a change in character in the pitch?
The tackiness of the pitch?
Delhi, yeah, whatever. So Delhi got their wickets using on-pace deliveries, and they were very direct to their lines and lengths. They got those hard lengths in them.
Exactly.
They got wickets out of there, and they got it out of sheer pace, you could say, to a certain degree. And Morris was bowling a lot of on-pace deliveries. He would have been perfect for Delhi. So it's just a weird
pretty
thing.
I think you can say that for a lot of teams so far, that you know, you maybe that player would have done well in that role here. I still have been having dreams about the auction that maybe we could have just lifted the paddle up one more time for Morris. Because 25 lakhs wouldn't have hurt Punjab at the end. And you know, because Rajasthan did come out on record and say 16.25 was their upper limit. And they were not going to go over that. So maybe, you know, having an extra batsman against Chennai would have helped us. But that's all in the past now.
Probably.
Speaking of tacky wickets, let's go to another tacky wicket. with the Punjab Kings and the Chennai Super Kings. Game. MS Dhoni 200 IPL games. I think we have to clap for him for a moment because he's been a legend. This 200 CSK games. This doesn't mean 200 IPL games because there was the Champions League T20 that also existed at one point. It's been redundant now. But, you know, 200 IPL games, 200 Chennai Super King games, I beg your pardon. He's absolute legend of the game. I think that was a... he's been a hero for all of us, right? Especially, I don't know about Thomas. Thomas was a big South Africa fan growing up. Even against India, guys, he was anti-national. Okay, I'm not going to use that word because that can be thrown around for different contexts nowadays. But Chennai Super Kings coming to this game, I think I watched every preview under the sun. I watched a couple previews on YouTube that had about 20, 25 views. But I still watch them because I was really looking forward to this game after the Rajasthan game. And I think within the first 25 minutes of the game, the innings, when it started, I started to get myself distracted and went and started cooking dinner and all of that stuff. Because, you know, it was just Shah Rukh Khan batting at the other end and you know we had Jai Richardson coming in at five. This is one thing that I wanted to ask Thomas's opinion on, that should Punjab change the balance of their side, maybe drop, I know that it's soon, maybe drop one of Riley Meredith or Jai Richardson, get a Moises Enriquez in, and maybe get another maybe drop someone like a Murugan in the future and get someone like Jalad Saxena or a Darshan Nalkande to give them a little more batting, but that does weaken the bowling, but it kind of gives you the sixth option. I don't know, that conundrum is a little crazy, but I'm going to read out Thomas's thoughts on this first and then go on my rant, right? So I think this was a very key point that two games have seen abysmal batting kind of bring about the downfall of teams, and I feel like it wasn't only abysmal batting. I think Deepak Chahar kind of broke our back, because when you play only six batsmen and, you know, Deepak Chahar balls that wonderful spell along with Jadeja's run out of KL Rahul, you kind of just break the whole team, right? Because that's five wickets right there. Four to Chahar and one to run out, which is basically Chris Gayle, KL Rahul, Mayank Agarwal, Nicholas Puran and Deepak Hooda, which are basically our five most important batsmen. And then you have Shah Rukh Khan coming in, who played a really good, really, really good inning, right? I think the 47 of 36 kind of showed maturity, because he's been typecast as this finisher who just, like, you know, comes in the last 10 balls and scores 25 runs, which is the role that he has to do essentially at number six. But, you know, just to show that kind of maturity, it kind of gives him that second dimension that, you know, he can build an innings if, God forbids, this kind of a collapse happens in the future. But yeah, Deepak Chahar, you have to give him, like, a lot of credit. And Ravindra Jadeja, the two fielding moments that he had, right? I think it was the Chris Gayle catch and it was the run out. And I think both incidents have Chris Gayle to blame. Because that was a really bad shot to begin with. It seemed like he was checking his shot, which is something Chris Gayle never does. Have you seen the biceps on that guy? Just go through with the shot, man. Like, use your sheer muscle and like, let's see where you can go from there. And second, that split second hesitation from Chris Gayle kind of really put Rahul off. And I feel like that split second was the difference between him making it and him not making it, especially when you play the ball to Ravindra Jadeja. I feel like this should be a rule of thumb that
a rule.
To Jadeja, yeah. Don't fucking run. I'm sorry for swearing, but don't run. Just don't. He's going to hit the stump 9 out of 10 times. I would say 10 out of 10 times on his day. It was a really stupid decision. But yeah, you know, after that, it was a walk in the park for Chennai, because they didn't have to ball exceptionally well, because, you know, it was Shah Rukh at one end and he couldn't take as many risks as he probably would have wanted to, because you had Jai Richardson and Murugan Ashwin. And I felt like Jai Richardson also did a pretty decent job with the bat, especially the two fours that he hit. I feel like that kind of adds that dimension that if we get Moises Rodriguez in the future, Jai Richardson can do a job for us at 7 and 8. But yeah, that was my take of the batting innings. And the second batting innings, I think we did, Arshdeep and Shami were exceptional. Riley Meredith showed a lot of improvement. And we kind of did delay the collapse, but at the end of the day, the run rate was still messed up. And yeah, special credit to Moeen Ali, batted beautifully. You know, Rituraj Gaikwad did not look like he was timing the ball. I think same with Faf. I think Faf didn't do an exceptional job with the bat, but he did just enough. He didn't have to, you know, bat really well. He batted at a strike rate of 109, which was more than what they needed, right? What was your take on this game? I think it was a really relatively faster review. But yeah, go for it.
So, no, more than blaming Gale, I would blame Rahul as well. Rahul also should realize he shouldn't have run, because Gale is not known for his quick singles. Sorry to say this, but he is not known for his quick singles. Even if Gale is calling for it, you don't run. You just tell him, you refuse to run, because who's the more valuable wicket in this case?
Oh,
KL Rahul or Chris Gayle? I mean, yeah. So, I mean, KL Rahul should have valued his wicket more. And if he had stayed there, potentially the collapse wouldn't have happened. I'm saying this potentially. It may not have happened.
I would say if he stayed, they would probably get to at least 130, right? And I feel like 130 would have been a very competitive score, given how Punjab balled in the end, right? It's all you can say it later, but I felt like that was some of the finest seam bowling Shami's done in a while. And he did get rewarded for it as well, right? He did pick up 2 wickets for 21 in 4 overs, which is a Rashid Khan-esque figures, right? 2 for 21 in 4. it's insane. And I think same with Arshdeep, like bowling at an economy of 3.5, right? Yeah, 3.5 in 2 overs. It was pretty special. But yeah, Rahul maybe should have denied that single. And if you think about it, CSK knew which wicket was more valuable as well. Because I looked at some of the replays and Gale hadn't made his ground back either. And you know, Jadeja might as well have gone for the end where the non-striker's end where Gale was running to and get him run out, but he knew that if you get KL Rahul out, you've basically broken the back, because you have both the openers gone in the power play. So really smart thinking from Jadeja. And yeah, I think we did talk about Moeen Ali's innings, 46 and 31, really really good stuff. But I think one thing that I want to talk about, just to put it as a positive, I really loved the fact that Riley Meredith had his plan in place for Suresh Raina. Because he just came in and banged in those bouncers, right? And Suresh Raina looked so uncomfortable. I was loving it, right? Like, it was my one moment of glory. I loved the last 3 overs. The Shami came in and you know, he picked up 2 wickets. Like, he got Suresh Raina out right after Riley Meredith balled those bouncers at him. And then he got Ambati Raidu out in the first ball. Like, it was a golden duck for him. I think we can take some positives from what happened in terms of a bowling unit. But really disappointing from them, and a really good win for Chennai. Despite not, like, if you think about it, barring Moeen Ali, none of their batsmen looked confident, but the score was so low that they didn't need to be confident. And I think that's it.
I'm still worried about them, by the way.
I wanted you to say that. You know, I didn't want to say that, because a lot of fans would probably troll me and say, oh, this Punjab fan is worried about CSK after we like blew them away. Yes, I am, because this was a one-off incident. I don't think...
But it'll
CSK
come as bias from my side as well, because my disdain for CSK is not exactly...
Yeah, but if you think about it, they do look in trouble, right? Because Ruturaj Gaikwad hasn't looked good over the last two games. Faf hasn't looked exceptional either. Moeen is the only batsman who's looked good, right? Suresh Raina looked great in the game before this, but now that people have exposed the short ball problem for him, and he's not going to be playing at rank turners, right? It's not going to keep
not going. Exactly. It's not exactly a short ball, but like, I mean, it's not exactly been exposed. He has
had it for a while, but I'm just saying, Thomas, think about it. He didn't play the 2020 season. So there could be a lot of people that have forgotten it, right, completely. They would have been like, yeah, you know, Raina, classy guy, top three run scorers in the IPL history. And now suddenly everyone will be like, oh, short ball. You remember when Raina used to play international cricket? This just used to be the talk in the pre-show. How to get Raina? Short ball. And I feel like that you know, recurring theme has come back again. So it and I don't know, maybe Dhoni should bat up the order. Ambati Raidu as a finisher. There are some question marks there as well, right? And Lungi and
Yee are a lot of
quarantine, but because Dwayne Bravo did a good job in the depth, do you drop Dwayne Bravo for Lungi and Yee, or do you get someone like Imran Tahir in? I don't know, man. It's there are a lot of questions that they need to answer. I feel like Sam Curran and Jadeja and Moeen Ali are probably the standout performers for them so far, and Deepak Chahar for that one. Bowling innings, but yeah, there are still some problems there, but I have to give it to them, exceptional performance, and I will eat humble pie and say we were blown away and they were obviously the better team on the day.
Yes.
I feel like this episode has already gone on for an hour, so whoever's listening to it now, it's a safe time to say this, okay? So I was really annoyed at Shah Rukh Khan, the actor, for his tweet.
Not the batsman.
Yeah, so I think if there are any Kolkata fans listening, you guys know that Shah Rukh Khan's a very disinterested and aloof owner, right? He typically shows up to the final and that's about it. I feel like you know that tweet that I'm going to read the tweet out because I think I sent Thomas a screenshot of it. So
yes, you did.
This is the tweet, right? So he said, disappointing performance, full stop. This is bad grammar. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe he was drinking. This is a disappointing performance, full stop, and the T is lowercase after the full stop. To say the least, at KKR Riders, apologies to all the fans. So, if you're an aloof owner who's kind of let the coaching staff do their thing, don't take responsibility for what the team's doing. Once you give them the money to build the team in the auction, your job's done. If this was a tweet from Brendan McCullum, I would take it. From Shah Rukh Khan, makes no sense because he doesn't say shit for any of the seasons. He's never said anything. I think it can probably be boiled down to the fact that Maharashtra has been locked down, right? So their shooting's not allowed. So he's probably sitting up there in Mannat and being like, you know what? For the first time in 14 seasons, I'm not shooting while the games are going on. So might as well watch it. and then he's like, oh my god, you go shit.
Team, you know, like he must have thought,
hello?
We have this team. Yeah, where is it? Which league was it in? Arin Veka? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he must have just remembered, you know. Which team was it, Veta?
This was our call from yesterday, but I was hoping you wouldn't bring this up because this is pretty derogatory. but you know, I actually read a Twitter thread of one of those passionate KKR fans saying that in 2014 SRK tweeted the same thing after a very disappointing loss, and then they went on to win 9 games consecutively and win the league. So they're like, oh, you know what? He's like reading into superstition. So that was one of the theory. And I have to talk about this one as well, right? This pissed me off more, actually. So after KKR won 100 IPL games, right? Their 100th IPL match win. He said, good to have our 100th IPL match win. Well done, boys. At KKR Riders, at Prasidh Krishna, at Dinesh Karthik, at Nitish Rana, hashtag Rahul Tripathi, at Andre Russell, at Harbhajan Singh, brackets, good to see you, even if briefly. And I'm like, why? This man, Harbhajan Singh, is a legend of Indian cricket period. I wouldn't even say white ball cricket, because he's had a pretty decent test career as well. And he's probably top two spinners, off spinners of all time for India. I think Ashwin would overtake him eventually. But how can you say that? And like, I was flabbergasted. I never thought I'd use that word. But I have. Like, yep. Who says that on Twitter? Imagine Harbhajan Singh's reaction reading this. He'd probably be pissed, like his Punjabi blood will boil, but he'd be like, hey, this guy pays the bills.
it's a bill typical... for my alcohol, but... Yeah,
okay, for Harbhajan, no, what? What are you saying?
Oh, no, sorry.
But Jay, Thomas apologizes. I think... that's the negative note that we end on, but I would like to be remembered for the positive note that I admitted that CSK did a better job than us. So yeah, you guys... Thomas, I'm not continuing on that note. But yeah, I think this was a very, very long episode, so I want to wrap it up. We will work on scheduling it a little better. I feel like the whole interactive, me and Thomas getting together on games thing kind of went for a while, but we will work on this and probably try to reduce the length. But thank you for tuning in. If you have stood the insane duration, which we will find out once we stop this recording, good on you guys. But this was a pretty long one, and yeah, we'll see you next week. And do check out the team of the week that will be published soon. Or if I'm not sure if it's been published, we'll have to check. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. And that's it from us. Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye.